Turn even now to Psalm 23, 23rd Psalm, familiar part of a scripture. Welcome all the youth that are here in the service also today, this Communion Sunday. All you that are coming in here, who can stay with afterwards for the picnic, that'd be a great blessing as well. I'm on a series here called Ready, Set, Grow, because I really believe that God's ordained for us to have a very, very strong growing year of increase in every part of our lives, both spirit, soul, and body. I'm going to ask all you adults that were here last week. Youth were upstairs, of course, didn't hear the message here, but how many folks were able to take and nail that suke to the cross every day last week? Amen? And praise God, most of you guys. And there's a good word to take and get the CD on that. Try to hear that if you were missing last week by any chance at all. We're talking about how we're trying to get our soulish man under the spirit man to be in control of our lives. We are a triune being, and God wants his Zoe life, his spirit man life, to be in control of our lives. We might be able to grow in the way that God wants us to grow. Amen. So I'm speaking here now to the entire congregation today. But I'm also going to be speaking today to all the graduates, because I will be speaking here for the whole service for you guys, when you guys have graduation ceremony in a couple of weeks here, being honored in a few weeks. So I'm speaking to graduates today, the congregation, all those that are here of any age at all, they'll receive this message. Try to take and get something to write some things down with perhaps as well. Take some notes and just do some research beyond this service here, because I think there'll be some good truths again. I'm going to speak about how pressing brings growth, how pressing brings growth. I talked a little while ago during communion service about grapes, how we had a thing that was called the wine press. And the wine press is a thing that takes and presses out the grapes, presses out the juice, brings forth the wine, and we try not to, of course, crush those seeds from that to bring in no bitterness from this also as well. This also is about getting more challenging things out of our lives and challenging things coming under the blood of Christ for increase. Is this kind of a real annoying echo coming out of this microphone today? Is it? I might want to use that handheld. Let's see if there's just something we can tweak. There's getting some kind of a ring or echo, it seems like. Okay, I'll leave this thing. You think it might get better? That sounds better? Okay, we've hit the right button. You're good. Let's get a little bit of ring back here. Okay, I think that's better. That sound a little bit better to you guys? Okay, just keep on listening real close. We've heard a lot in the past couple of decades, first of all, about how God wants faith to increase among the people, not just charismatics, but all the members of the body of Christ. And so hopefully you guys have been around Christianity long enough to have jumped on all the revelation that God released through his word, through his people on faith. And then beyond that now, the big buzzword has been the word favor, how all of us are those that are highly favored, blessed of God, and the time of God's favor is upon God's people. The question I want to ask this morning is, what's that favor actually for? We got to realize again that God is not a selfish God, and God's not called us also to be a selfish people. That's why I spoke last week on denying self. And I told you guys last week also, this message on denying self would not be there to beat you guys up and make you feel condemned or judged or guilty. I think we accomplished that last week. We had that we ended there on a good note. God did some good things there. And we realize that denying self only does good for us and good for God's kingdom. It does not do bad things for us at all. Amen? Well, the same thing also is true about pressing. Pressing is about realizing when God's favor comes on us, God has a purpose for that favor that's bigger than we are ourselves. God's got a bigger plan than just us being blessed in life and receiving favor to receive much as far as much is concerned and the earth goes. So Psalm 23, we all know verse 1 by memory. And it says here, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It means I shall not be in want. It means all my needs will be met. And it means I shall always walk in increase. I shall always walk in blessings. I shall want for nothing in my life because the Lord is my shepherd. And praise God for that verse. Now we're going now to begin to verse 5. And it goes on and says this now, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. And so notice here again, before that table is set there before my enemies, the enemies of God's of our presence, we got to realize that first of all, God says, you anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. And before that word comes forth, before that sentence is spoken there again, God said, you put a table in front of my enemies, set before them, that shall be something to be seen and be talked about again in this morning's service. We all want again in our lives the cup that runs over. Amen? We all want an abundance of anointing, an abundance of strength, an abundance of God's power, God's provision, God's favor, all these things we want in our lives. But God said before that takes place, we must first of all see God put us in a place where we're sitting right there in a table prepared by God, where our enemies are actually right there at the same table with us at the same time. That's why I read to you guys Matthew chapter 26 for communion there, because it shows you how Jesus Christ was sitting there at the Last Supper at the table, and right there at the table with him was who? It was Judas Iscariot, his biggest enemy in that hour, in that season. God prepares a table, but he puts his enemies right there with us at the same table. But it's not to destroy us. It's to bring increased blessings and good things to us. If we follow along here today and listen to what this message is all about, we'll see how pressing will actually bring growth into our lives. God's prepared again a good table for all of us. I appreciate again Leah singing this morning. I appreciate all the giftings, all the callings, all the ministries represented here in this church called Tree of Life Church today. And realize God has a good heritage. God has a good inheritance for every one of us on the face of this earth. Amen. That table God prepares for us is a table of harvest, and it is a good table, a table of blessing, a table of increase, and a table of good things. But God says that table must always, the very first parts of that, have your enemies seated at that table so I might take and deal with those enemies in a righteous way to cut those enemies off, bind the strong man at the very beginnings of your harvest, and bring forth ongoing blessings to your life. Remember that story in the Old Testament there about Esther? Esther was found to be a beautiful lady, and she married a man whose name was King Ahasuerus, something like that, a very, very hard name, something like King Ahasuerus of Persia. And she also had an evil man named Haman, who was a very close man to the king. And Haman hated all the Jews because the Jews and the man whose again name is Mordecai would not bow down to him, would not honor him, not respect him. They saw him for who he was. And so Haman sets out to kill the entire Jewish race hundreds of years ago. And the Bible says that Esther was raised up by God, given favor, given faith by God for such a time as this. And he sets Haman, the enemy of all the Jews, at the same table with Esther, not to destroy Esther, but to cut Haman off and exalt Esther and bring blessings to the people and life to the people of Israel from that day onward. That's what God's saying also in 2013 today. You're going to see some things happen around you guys that are young people, that are older folks, and the members of the congregation here today. You're going to see some things take place that might perplex you. Why are all these people around me that seem to be my enemies? It might be not be people and humans. It might be things like fear, like doubt, like worry, like sickness, like disease. God wants those things at the table around you that their heads might be cut off in Jesus' name and bring forth a table of blessing from that day forth for a greater harvest as time goes by. Amen? So I'm going to speak this morning now about mainly the olive harvest, the olive plant. And I think the olive is actually a vegetable, not a fruit. Is that right? Are olives vegetables and not fruit? Who knows that? I think they're vegetables because they actually are found in the vegetable aisle at grocery stores. Amen? And they also don't taste that good. I like almost all fruits. I hate almost all vegetables. So I think they're vegetables, okay? I don't put olives on my pizzas. But they're probably good for you. I do put olive oil, though, on the bottom of pizzas. The pan, okay? So that counts. But I'm talking here this morning about pressings. There's two things, again, that the Jewish people would press that were plants. One a fruit, one a vegetable, called the grape and called the olive. And God, again, always does things in the Bible for pictures that are prophetic to show us spiritual truths, revelations that will be a blessing to our lives if we can hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us by those pictures he plants. So God did not by accident cause olives to grow in Israel and have presses formed for them. It was all done, I know, on purpose to give us some spiritual truths. We're going to reveal some of those truths today. They'll be a blessing also to your life. There's three pressings that olives go through to produce oil for the people of Israel, people of the earth, and again 2,000 years ago as well. The first pressing of the olive is called, it's all about praise and all about worship. The first time the olive is pressed is only there to take and break the skin of the olive and release an oil that is for praise and for worship. Sometime you might find yourself going on a trip to Israel. If you do that, you might find yourself in a place called Capernaum, where Jesus Christ himself ministered and was at. In Capernaum is a place called Gethsemane. You've all heard of Gethsemane, where Jesus Christ himself prayed there in the Garden of Gethsemane,
like great drops of blood coming out of his body. He was in such agony and such turmoil that day. And the Garden of Gethsemane is a place of being pressed, a place of agony, a place of despair, a place going to the cross. Well, in Capernaum is a place called Gethsemane. And this Gethsemane is actually a great big olive press that is there today, several thousand years beyond Jesus Christ dying on the cross. On that place, that stone there where they actually had the olive press, is a great big volcanic-shaped type rock hollowed out in the middle. There's a hole in the middle of that thing and a trough going down to the hole where the olive oil would take and go down the trough, down the hole, into vessels that were held down at the bottom of the place called Gethsemane. Now, how'd they take and crush these olives to get the oil out? They used oxen. Oxen were actually attached to a great stone. As they went around in circles, the oxen did. It rolled the stone around on the olives. And the very first pressing of the olives only broke the skin. And it brought forth this pure oil that was taken immediately, the vessel was taken immediately to the priest in the temple of Jerusalem. It was called the first fruits offering to the Lord. It stood for praise. It stood for worship, because that's the first thing that goes to God out of our lives. Amen? Now again, this is also what's called extra virgin olive oil. You might have seen that in your own store sometime. Extra virgin olive oil is the very first pressing. The breaking of the skin, the outward skin of the olive, is called extra virgin olive oil. The first pressing also in our lives should be praise and worship going to the Lord. What God is saying to us is, when pressure times take place in your life, your first reaction should be begin to praise, begin to worship Almighty God. Because through that, God releases oil upon your life that will bring a blessing to your life, okay? The second pressing, what took place then? Well, now the oxen go around again and again and again. In the second pressing, now the entire olive is crushed. Now huge amounts of oil starts pouring out. And this oil is now called, the second pressing is about wholeness, wholeness. This oil was for every Israelite's family, individual. It would take and feed their families. It would oil their pans. It would make their bread. It would take and oil their bodies and their hair and their face. They would cover themselves with the second pressing called the oil of wholeness that was for the entire Jewish family in that era. This second pressing was all about being protected from disease. It was all there to be a blessing to help the household out for nutrition. It was a very, very important pressing that took place in that era. Now, the third pressing is called the pressing that was for the lamp. The third pressing is where the oxen go around again, and now almost all the oil has now been drained out of all those olives. Only a little bit of oil comes out, just enough oil, hopefully, for the lamps of the people of Israel in their houses. These all stand for things that are very, very important spiritually in your life, for growth, how pressing brings growth into your life. Our olive crop is a crop of vision, a crop of dreams, a crop of harvest that God has ordained for every one of us individually on the face of this earth. What God wants is, God wants that third pressing to take place in your life, because it's going to bring a lamp and a light and make you a voice on the earth to be Christ's representative on this earth also in a great, powerful way as your life goes on. We tend to think sometimes that our harvest is actually the end game of our lives. That is not the truth. Your harvest is not your end game. Your harvest is actually the beginnings of God's workings in your life. When harvest takes place for a farmer, that is not the end of his career. That's a beginning of his career. Amen? When that first harvest happens there, he gives hopefully the first fruits to God in praise and worship, takes care of his household, protects himself and his family, then he keeps on sowing seed, harvesting on an ongoing basis in his life. So harvest is not about the outcome of your life, the end of your life. It's about the fruitful time of your life, producing fruit for Jesus Christ on an ongoing basis. What God is saying to my heart very strong is, in these last days, many people are going to fall away from the increase of wickedness around us on the earth. God wants your endings to be better than your beginnings. Amen? He is the author and the finisher of your faith. And what God has begun, a good work inside of us, may God complete that work until Jesus Christ parts the heavens, or until we die on the earth. Amen? God is into longevity. God's into completion. God's into finishing what he began in your lives. Your harvest is about your first fruits. You bring it to the Gethsemane. It always, always, always belongs to the Lord, your God. This is not just, again, about your tithe, your offerings, your financial gain. It's about your children. It's about your workplace, about your career. It's about your business, it's about your office place, it's about all the things you do for harvest in your life. Everything God brings to you must be given back to God as a first fruits offering back to Him. That God may take that, multiply that, break that, and bless that in a way that brings a lasting harvest for your lives. On those who follow God and follow Jesus Christ, we are called Christians in this earth. Christians will always be those who bear the same marks that Jesus Christ Himself bore on the cross in His own body. Jesus Christ bore scars, He bore our sicknesses, our illnesses, and God says, by My stripes you are healed, but also realize the same things I went through, you're going to find yourself in some ways going through similar things yourself because you are also crucified with Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, you do live also by Christ, by faith in Him, not of yourselves. We're going right now in a very, very important day as far as the Johnson family is concerned, because May 5th, 6 years ago, 2007, is the day our daughter Sarah went in the hospital with a thing that was, again, a very, very rare vascular disease. We thought she was going to be dying that perhaps that day, that week, as serious as things were. Again, you guys who know the story, they've been here for years back with us. You guys were here. Many of you folks were with us, praying for us, praying with us, standing with us, and so forth. And Cinco de Mayo, 5th of May, was a very, very strong day impressed and embellished inside of our minds every single year. It was a Saturday. Things took place in a very, very fast, rapid fashion. We found ourselves in Round Rock Hospital 1 minute. We found ourselves at the Children's Hospital the next. We found ourselves getting reports of kidneys shutting down, liver shutting down, heart exploding in the chest, looking like sudden death may take place any time. It's a very, very traumatic time in our lives. I remember crying out to God that day in my car and saying, God, this cannot be the end of my daughter's life. She will live. She will not die in Jesus' name. And I remember just things happening so fast, so quick, and in a flurry. All these specialists and all these doctors were around us in this great measure for the next couple of days. And I remember there during that first week, after a couple of weeks in the hospital, they said, your daughter must go through a surgery to connect a vein in her leg to go into her, from her aorta into her kidneys to restore blood flow back into her organs and lower extremities once again. And so we said, of course, do that surgery. And so they did that successfully. And again, the sad thing was, is her liver was so depleted and so dead, it was not clotting blood the way that it should, so she began to bleed out after her first surgery. They had to reopen her up again and try to stop the bleeding. They went, put her back in the room again with us in intensive care. A day goes by, the bleeding came right back again, full measure. The doctor said to us this next time, the surgeon said, well, we must try and stop this bleeding one more time. If we can't stop the bleeding, then your daughter is going to die because there's nothing we can do. She's going to bleed out. She's going to die and because of internal bleeding inside of her life and her body. Well, that morning, God gave me a scripture from the book of Exodus that says, He caused the waters of the deep to coagulate like in the deep of the ocean. And when I saw that verse, it began to leap inside of my heart that God was going to take and somehow, some way, do a miracle for our daughter that day and bring healing to her body, some way, somehow. But at the same time, Cheryl's in the hospital room with Sarah, right by her side. And I think she actually was driving to the hospital that day. As I was back home praying, she was driving toward the hospital. And she said the Spirit of God came on her and said to her, you must lay your daughter on the altar, just like Isaac was given by Abraham upon that altar that day. You must lay your daughter on the altar and give her to Me this day, live or die. And so Cheryl saw a vision of herself putting Sarah on the altar and saying, this child belongs to You, God, not to us. She will live or die according to Your design, Your power, Your will, but God, please have grace and raise her up in Jesus' name. And of course, Sarah's here now this morning, looking pretty good. God chose and God decided not to let her go. And Sarah even tells us in the hospital room, she actually left her body at one point, and she actually saw Jesus face to face. And he actually asked her, do you want to go back or come with me? And praise God, she said, I want to go back. I want to go back. So thank you. Always say that. Always say that, Sarah. I want to go back. Amen? As long as I'm alive, you say, always say, I want to go back. But I say all that because God is going to take every first fruits, every bit of our increase of our children, our jobs, our education, our moves in life, and say, offer that now on the sacrificial altar to Me, because it all belongs to Me, saith the Lord. It's called the first fruits offering that goes to God and to the Lord and to Jesus Christ, His Son. Amen? Our children belong to God, not to us. Galatians chapter 6, verse 17 goes on here and says, from now on, let no one trouble Me. Now, how's that? For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying here, if the marks of Christ, his sufferings, his wounds, his scars, have worked a work inside of us, then no man can actually trouble us who sits at our table, even though he be our enemy, like Judas was for Jesus. Jesus Christ was not troubled by Judas. He knew who he was. He knew how God would use Judas in his own way. He was not troubled by him. God is saying to our youth, to our adults as well, don't let any human being trouble you on this earth. When God has put first your life, when the work of the cross works the work inside your soul and your spirit, you'll be strong enough to say no to what you should say no to, yes, things to say yes to, not let man overrule you in this life at all upon this earth. Amen? The oil that you give God through salvation, through prayer and through worship, is actually being stored up for you for future preparation, for food, for nourishment, for protection, and for your light to shine before men in due time upon your earth. But the first pressing of olives always, always, always goes right to the tabernacle, to the temple, to God himself, through praise and through worship. I thought this morning also, before I was going through my verses, scriptures, and so forth, and notes this morning at my house, I don't think it was by accident that when Sarah had the disaster for us, May the 5th, 6 years ago, I had scheduled 2 months before that a praise group to be at our church from Christ for the Nations. They were here as guest ministers that Sunday, that weekend, giving praise, giving worship, giving glory to God. I think it shows us and shows our family especially, we must always keep praise, keep worship before God as the first fruits. Because when pressing takes place, it's our praise, it's our worship to God that brings forth the oil for protection, for guidance, for direction, and for also our light to shine before men through disasters. That God takes bad things and brings somehow good things out of them as only God can do. Amen? The question this morning is now, what is the anointing? What is the anointing? The first time in the Bible the anointing is actually seen is not the anointing of prophets or of kings. It's the anointing of shepherds upon their sheep. That's where the anointing first is found in your Bible in the Old Testament. Now, why is that? Because the anointing oil was used to identify the sheep by the smell the shepherds mixed with the olive oil to anoint their sheep. One shepherd would use cinnamon. One would use acacia. One would use lavender. One would use peppermint or some kind of a mint. And so if a sheep got lost, another shepherd would find the sheep there and smell the sheep's fur or wool and say, this sheep belongs to so-and-so shepherd, Brown or Zimstein over there, okay? Because I can tell by the smell of the odor on the sheep's anointing upon his wool what shepherd he belongs to. God's put his fragrance on us. That fragrance is called Jesus Christ himself. The Bible says the very fragrance of Christ covers us, and it brings death to death. It brings life to life. And God brings forth a diffusing nature of his own character and spirit upon us by the anointing oil and the fragrance of Jesus that covers our life. Amen? So praise God, we are sheep of his pasture with anointing upon our life. But also the anointing oil was put upon the sheep, not just for fragrance and identification, but also for divine protection. Because in these sheepfold and so forth, the sad thing was there was insects in those pastures. These one kind of insects would try to get on the sheep's feet, climb up their legs, climb up their bodies, up their neck, up their head, right into their ears. They go in their ears, burrow in their ears, and lay eggs in their inner ear. And the larvae would take and hatch out and start eating on their brains. Isn't that just gross? We're having a picnic after service here. We're serving brisket. We're serving hot dog. No. But notice here, there's no pictures on the screen. No pictures. Amen? But I'm saying what happens here is the shepherds know about those insects. And so to keep those insects from finding their place in the head, the neck, and the ears of the sheep, they would anoint their heads with oil. So the insects would slide off the wool and never find themselves in the ears of those sheep. Isn't that good news? That's why the Bible says that Jesus Christ would leave the 99 and go find the lost sheep. The lost sheep was lost not because he's rebellious and angry and mad. It's because somehow he's got this insect, has found its way into his ear. His thoughts are being changed now. And he's going through a burrowing process, and he's being driven out of his own mind into the realms of his old soul, his old ways, his old habits, and he's now leaving the fold, not knowing the shepherd's voice at all in his life. And I said to you and I, there's insects all around us called demonic spirits, and they're trying to burrow into the minds of our young people, and our graduates, and our older folks as well, and change their thoughts, and change their attitudes, and change their ideas, and change their mindsets to the world's way of doing things, and bringing lies for truth, bringing deception for what was light. And so that anointing oil of God upon our own spiritual being can take and get those insects off of us. They never find a foothold in our ears or our minds at all, in Jesus' name. Amen. We got a few of our youth going to college this coming fall. And again, I tell you guys time and time again that one of my leanest years in my life spiritually was my 2 years in secular college with professors giving big words, big teachings, and big philosophies about how the gospel and how Christianity is all just the soul, it's all emotions, it's all feelings, it's all explained by natural things around us. And I began to question for a very, very short season if God's word really was even true, because these guys made such sense with their big vocabularies and their intellect and so forth and so on. But you're going to find in secular universities today, they're trying also, of course, to get agendas across that our nation itself is embracing in this hour. You've got to be blind right now to not realize they're trying to get across what's called the gay agenda right now in our country, and try to make acceptable to us people getting married of the same sex. One big argument I'm hearing time and time again, a philosophy that comes from the pit of hell itself, is that because animals sometimes are homosexuals, we should also be the same thing, because it's in nature. It's all natural. Animals are sometimes gay. Well, guess what? Also, fish, insects, animals also cannibalize each other. Tigers eat small tigers. Lions eat small lions. Bass eat small bass. Does that mean I just need to eat small humans? Should I start eating babies? That kind of logic says whatever animals do, I should do, because it's nature. It's all natural. No, it's part of the fall of the earth and mankind. Amen? And so I'm telling you guys that are youth here, don't be deceived by philosophies of men with big words and vocabularies and education, because they're sometimes spouting lies and deception out that's totally against what God's word says. And so again, I'm saying to you guys again, that anointing will cover our ears, that the insects can't find a room or a space in our ears to lay those eggs and change our thoughts and imaginations of things that are higher than what God's knowledge is, and exalt themselves above Him somehow, some way. So moving on here, the second pressing of oil. Second pressing of oil is there to cover your ears from the enemy. When you're facing a valley or a pressing in your life, that oil will protect you from that. I just saw a man named Michael Moon about a week ago in his bed at his own house. Michael Moon went through a tragic accident with a car hitting the barrier of I-35 at 60 miles an hour at least. 18 months ago, around Thanksgiving, he did this. It crushed both of his legs very, very severely, hurt his back. He's gone through numerous surgeries, gone through pain, been by himself hours and hours and days and weeks and months. And so I saw him in his own room about 10 days back. I could tell he was very depressed, very despondent. I reminded him, I said, Michael, there's only one more surgery left before we're going to start seeing rehab take place in your body once again. Satan will fight the very strongest at the very endings of sometimes great pressing battles in your life. But I felt impressed of God also to tell Michael Moon, I said, try if you can to fill this bedroom up with praise and worship songs. All you can do that. You're going to find that if God's presence comes into your bedroom by praise and by worship, He'll take what seems bleak and bad and a waste of time into something good, as only God can do that. That first pressing of olive oil, as the pressing time takes place, we must always, always, always revert to praise, revert to worship, and give God the praise, give God the glory for our lives, our salvation, what God has done, what God is doing, what God will do, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may not feel like it. You may not look like it. You may not even think God deserves that. But I'm saying, by faith, rise up and say, the first olive pressing take place in my life, I will bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's in me, I will bless and I will praise His holy name. Amen. Barbecue pits blow up on the way to church on picnic Sundays. The DeLunas are praising and worshiping God. Amen. And all of us as well. I'm saying, when things take place in our lives that are totally unplanned for, uncalled for, but it's time to praise God first. and not curse the darkness, but bless the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. If you distribute the first pressings of oil the right way, there will then be a second pressing of oil take place for your life. That God will distribute there to anoint your head with oil. He'll cause your cup to run over. He'll bring forth protection to you, identify you as His own son and daughter. He'll bring forth His promises, bring forth intervention, bring forth grace, bring forth power, bring forth His strength. He'll bring forth His might, His glorious victory. In due time, God will pull through. But never, ever, ever leave that first pressing of praise and worship to God. It provides the oil for the next pressing that brings protection, guards your ears, guards your thoughts, guards your mind, and puts you on the right path for Jesus from that day on. Notice it's the third pressing that feeds the lamp for the light that gets the people's attention around you. The problem is there's so many people that want to take and they want to receive the third pressing first. They want to receive the platform. They want to be seen by man. They want to be seen by crowds. They want the applause of people around them. They've not gone through the first pressings or second pressings at all. They want the third pressings first. The prodigal son was like that himself. He said, Father God, give me my inheritance. I want it right now. But he couldn't handle the inheritance. It actually ruined him. It spoiled him. It turned against him. The same thing's true in the spiritual realm as well. God knows we can't handle the third pressing in our lives first. We must first of all establish that Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives. And all the glory and all the praise must always go to Him first. Then God gives us the strength to know His voice, to hear His voice, receive His protection from things if a demonic attack comes against us. And then through all of that, then God says, okay, now you're qualified to be a voice. Let your light so shine before men, they'll see your good works and glorify me in heaven in due time, as only they can do with my help and grace. When you experience pressings, give God the oil, the first oil first. When your light shines for people in the darkness, it's going to always, always, always attract insects also to you. When your light shines up, I'm not trying to prophesy bad things over Aaliyah, but I'm saying whenever you take and minister to God with your giftings and callings, you're going to always attract insects to you. Amen? Shine a light in our parking lot at 9 o'clock at night here. You're going to find all kind of insects are going to be drawn to the light. And what God says, that second pressing will cover your ears, cover your body, cover your head. So when the insect attack comes, your enemies are there. There's your table, your harvest. It will not influence you for anger, bitterness, or being self-pitied or whatever else. You're going to find yourself being strong in the Lord, the power of His might, and keep on bearing an ongoing harvest from that day forward in Jesus' name. Amen? I believe that Leah is here today because she already established that first pressing. She praises God. She worships God behind the scenes. Amen? She understands God's authority, God's word. That second pressing is taking place in her life. Her ears are covered, I believe, by God's anointing, God's strength. In God's power, you can see that and sense that as she sings that song to God today. She gave us her first fruits offering. Her light shone for the first time like this today on the platform. And she's honored by that because she went through the first and second pressings first. Wasn't seeking the platform first. You didn't see Aaliyah come in our church months ago and say, I want the platform. I want the mic. I want to sing a song. I want to do a solo. You saw Aaliyah as a servant, as a woman of God with a right spirit, right heart. And the same thing's true of all of you guys, all of you guys, all of you guys as well. We don't try to aspire to a platform. We aspire to letting our giftings, our callings be used to bless people around us in whatever way God wants to use that, knowing that those pressings are there to lay foundations for longevity and ongoing harvest by God's power, God's strength, and God's might. So as your pastor today, it's always my hope that you'll be always healthy, always making right decisions, having no calamities take place in your lives, having a great marriage, a strong, and so forth. But the sad fact is, there's going to be sometimes betrayals in your life. You're going to find your friends turn their backs on you. You're going to find that sometimes car crashes do take place. Miscarriages sometimes do happen. Sometimes disease does take place and is not healed very fast. Sometimes bad things do happen to good people. What I'm saying to you guys today is, again, those pressings of God's Spirit, that anointing oil of praise and worship will start covering your head, covering your life, covering your ears, so when those pressings take place, you don't find yourself with the lie of Satan that says, I must have sinned, and thus this bad thing is taking place in my life. I've seen many godly, righteous people suffer many long-suffering type things. And it's not because they're sinful, evil people, but it's because God says, my pressing is still taking place. My anointing oil is still flowing. My grace is sufficient for you. I'm going to receive the utmost glory from this in due time. But in the meantime, keep on praising me. Keep on worshiping me. Put me first before your life. This thing will pass in due time, says the Lord. And the problem we have sometimes is we see people around us that are Christians. They got cancer and we got cancer. They had hands laid upon them and they got totally healed in 1 second. We find ourselves going through chemotherapy, getting our breasts removed, going through painful surgeries, painful things take place in our lives, and we say, why did they get healed and I didn't get healed? I'm going through all this. And we say, maybe I'm doing something sinful and evil in my life and God's mad at me. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Everybody has their own cross to bear in their own way. And I will always, 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 as your pastor, stand beside you and believe God for your total healing, deliverance, and whatever you need in your life to take place there. But also, I understand, we can't make God do anything. What we can believe God for, though, is God, make this pressing, this olive pressing in my life. Pour in more oil on my head, my ears, my face, my very being. May my anointing increase, O God, upon the land, that my light may shine brighter and brighter and brighter on the other side of this harvest. May it be used, O God, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember here in Matthew 25, Matthew 25 gives a parable of the 10 virgins. And it says there that there were 5 virgins that were wise, 5 were foolish, because 5 had a lot of oil and 5 had no oil, because the bridegroom was a long time in coming. Back in the 1970s, they told us, any day now, Jesus Christ will return. The rapture's right around the corner because Kissinger's in power. He's the Antichrist. Then it was Carter. Then it was Nixon. And then it was whoever. And I'm saying again, all these decades have gone by now, and Jesus Christ has not come back yet. And I'm saying to you guys again, don't base your salvation on the rapture and upon the mark of the beast and the Antichrist. Keep your hearts on fire for God, no matter what we're going through in this earth. Jesus Christ will come back, the Bible says, in an hour when you think not, the Son of Man will come. Amen? The bridegroom was long in coming, and half the people's oil ran dry because of the longness of that. I want to encourage you young people that are going into college, that are going through graduation, through transition, let this summer be a summer to fill your lamps up as high as you can get them to be filled up. Receive God's anointing, receive God's strength, praise God, worship God, read your Bibles, pray to God, be full of God's joy, peace, and strength, because you're facing some real insects around the corner. Don't be afraid of that. Those giants have already been defeated by Jesus Christ on the cross. Amen. But I say, realize they're going to try to get into your ears and give you philosophies and give you teachings and things that are totally contrary to what God's Word stands for and is all about. And drive a wedge between you and God if they can do that and try to drive you crazy as far as God's concerned. I give you guys a verse, the very first part of this service today, 2 Corinthians, Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, excuse me. It says, we are pressed in every direction, but we're not crushed. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. Cast down, but not in despair. God has given us the oil of His own presence to squash and bring raid to every insect Satan throws at us, in Jesus' name. In Sarah's life, as we're going through this battle on an ongoing basis, we praise God for all the miracles that He's done for her on Cinco de Mayo, 6 years down the road. What I'm saying to you is, the anointing of God upon our heads, upon our face, upon our ears are going to cause every insect to go right back down our necks, right back down our bodies, under our feet, in Jesus' name, to be squashed like they should be and have no effect in our lives. May it be true in Sarah's life and your life as well. I'm going to have James come back to the platform now. If you'd do that, please. I'm going to all just bow our head and close our eyes for a moment here as I close in prayer. Excuse me. The anointing of God, the oil of God, comes to us to bring in specific direction, specific works against the powers of darkness. And it comes also to bring to us sometimes the elevation to grow in the realm of the Spirit. The favor of God also is put upon our lives not just for our benefit, but also the benefit of other folks around us who need what God places inside of our lives, but to show the right Christ with that. I want to ask you this morning to think about the imbalanced message of favor. Because favor is, again, not just for us. It's for those around us that God wants to touch and minister to and do good things for them. The Bible says the favor of God came upon Joseph. What's the favor of God mean to Joseph? It means being betrayed by his brothers, going into a pit, going into prison, spending many, many years in obscurity and suffering, and then in due time being raised up as second in command to Pharaoh. What does favor actually mean to Esther? It means going before the king, and the king either says, "How dare you come in my presence without my permission? You will now die and your head be cut off." Or he'll say, "Here's my scepter out to you. What do you want? Up to half my kingdom." A risk that she took that day. What does favor mean to Daniel? It means that all magicians at one point, two times, were told by the king, "We're going to take and kill all of you magicians there because you're all unwise people that are doing things that are not helping me out in my kingship and my rule." And at one point, of course, Daniel goes in the lion's den as well. Favor did all these things for Daniel, but also God blessed him. God raised him up. God caused his light to shine. But first of all, there had to be a table set in the presence of his enemies. And what about King David? The favor of God caused him to get chased by Saul, almost killed by Saul time and time again. It brought him pain and anguish in Ziklag when all the people that were around him were his friends, were now his enemies, and wanted to take his life because their wives were gone, their cattle was gone, their kids were gone, their crops were gone. And the favor of God will set a table of harvest in front of you, but your enemies also will be right there in the same table with you. And this morning, when your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, I'm going to pray at the close of this service here because I want God to have his way here this morning to remove some enemies from us. Those enemies may not be the same ones that David had or Esther had or Daniel had. They may be things today like depression, like anger, like unforgiveness, like sickness or disease, or it might even be some kind of a fear that's holding you back. God is saying, "I'm going to put a place of harvest in front of you, but I'm going to also seat your enemies right there at the same table with you, not to destroy you, but to deal with them righteously and cause him to see the victory that's been won by the power of the cross of Jesus Christ that works in your life according to my power, my love, and my salvation. As I take and cut your enemies off, I will bring you a light that so shines before men, they will see your good works. They will glorify the Father which is in heaven." Let's right now pray for ourselves. Ask the Holy Spirit to minister his life and grace inside of us, to bring us an ability to be those who praise God and worship God in the times of pressing. Now, Father God, I pray, Lord, this day that when pressure comes, difficulties come, trials come, even sickness or disease would come, oh God, let us be those who have a knee-jerk reaction to always begin to praise, begin to worship God and say, "Father God, I don't understand why I'm going through this pressing in my life. But I choose, oh God, to be like that ox who grinds out that first fruits, that first pressing of the olives, and brings forth praise and brings forth worship and brings forth the extra virgin olive oil to the priest, to the temple, to my God. All the praise, oh God, belongs to you. And then, Father God, beyond that, let me see, oh God, that second pressing take place. You anoint my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy, God, will cover me all the days of my life and follow me, Lord. But also, God, that is like the oil also upon Aaron's beard that runs down his beard, down his robes, right down to his feet. It's called unity in the body of Christ. Take, oh God, things from me that brings disunity in the body. Things of jealousy, things of anger, things of carnal competition. Things, oh God, of unforgiveness and bitterness and hurts and past wounds. Father God, take these things from me, oh God, I pray this morning. Give me, oh God, a clean heart, a clean soul. A sound spirit, O God, a sound mind, that I can be one, Father God, as your anointing covers my ears, that I will not receive the insects the devil throws at me. They will not burrow into my mind and change my thoughts and pollute my soul and deceive me somehow these last days. But I praise you, God, that your anointing covers my ears, covers my head, covers my body, and brings divine protection, God, to me all the days of my life. Father, I pray right now for our youth, especially, O God, in this service. I pray, Father God, give these youth, O Lord, a lamp that's filled, O God, with oil from that third pressing. Help them, O God, to be those who are witnesses at their middle schools, their high schools, their colleges, universities, O God, and Bible schools. I pray, God, you'd bless them with a light that shines brighter and brighter and brighter. Release, O God, their giftings, their callings in due time and in due season. But in the meantime, O God, I pray, may their cup runneth over with the oil of gladness and joy and praise and worship. May it cover, O God, their heads, cover their hearts, cover their shoulders, O God, their very being. They may be a people, God, who has an ongoing harvest in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. There's one more thing. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed right now today. If you're here this morning and say, Brother Mike, I don't really even know that my heart's really even right with God today. I don't want to leave this place this morning not knowing that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior, or that I have not given my God a chance to take and cleanse me of things I'm doing even now in my life that I may be ashamed of, that I know drives His presence from me. I want to see that my heart is right with God this morning before I leave this place. I want to pray a prayer of rededication, or even a prayer unto salvation, to receive Christ in my life this morning. So I believe that God is here and God will hear my prayers. If you're like that this morning, please raise your hand for a moment here. Just raise your hand right across the sanctuary. Anyone like that today that wants to get their heart right with God? Anybody else? I see two hands here in the middle. Anybody else on the right? God bless you. Anybody on the left over here as well? Praise you, Father God. Praise you, Lord. Let's all stand to our feet now, please. Let's all stand to our feet. I'm going to ask Shannon to come to the front along with Jack and even Chad. Let's go ahead and stand at the front here if you wouldn't face the congregation. I'm going to ask you four to five people, even beyond that, even more perhaps than that, to make one more bold step this morning. I want you to make your way out of your seats, even now if you do that, and come to either Shannon or Jack or Chad. Just stand with them if you would, even right now. We're just going to pray a short prayer with you today as well. We're going to ask that God would seal your desire today, that your heart is right with God, that you know, that you know, that you know you're saved, you're born again, that God is your Lord, He's your God, He has every part of your life in His hands. Please go ahead and come to the front now. If you raise your hand up, those folks around you will wait for you. Don't be embarrassed. We're here to love you, here to bless you, here to be with you. Not here to judge or condemn. We're here to take and bless your life and see God do a work in your life. Go ahead and come to the front. Make way for them to come out of the aisles. Back here in the back as well over here. Let's go ahead and come to the front. Just get with one of these men or women here if you do that, please. Let's give God praise and thanks right now for those that are coming to the front. That's God to do a work in their lives, a deeper work in their lives. There's at least three more that raise your hand. If you want to come to the front now, you can. If you don't want to come to the front right now, then please find a time to get with one of these three people before you leave this place today. But you can come to the front now if you also would do that. We're going to believe God's going to do a deep work in your life this morning. God bless you, lady, and others over here as well. Praise you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Father, I praise you, God, for these ones, the Lord, whose hands were raised today. I pray, Father God, and we pray together as a congregation, as they're coming forth this day in purity and sincerity. They're saying, Father, I know I need more of you in my life. I pray, God, reveal yourself to them. I pray, Father God, give them a hunger for the things of the Spirit. Let them, O God, be found by you, Lord, easily, easily. And I thank you, O God, people being drawn to Christ this day into a deeper walk with you, into forgiveness and cleansing in the name of Jesus. Now, do we have Greg in here today? Is Greg here? Go ahead and come to the front. He'll give us some instructions here about the whole picnic part of the service in a moment. You guys keep on praying for these people at the front here as well before he does that. I want to say here on my part that to help out all the servers and all those who come to the picnic, the first time you go through, just like...